The following is a Fourth Hand production.
What is going on, y'all little heathens? You're listening to the Not Today Satan podcast. I am part of the show, JP.
I'm the other part, Nick Bermeja.
We back. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble.
So this is considered Thanksgiving Eve?
Yeah.
Guess that's a thing.
Is that a holiday? Mm-hmm. What's Boxing Day? Something with Christmas, right? Or is that a Thanksgiving thing? It's a Canadian thing for sure.
What do they do?
I think that's when you throw away all your boxes from presents. But I know it's a big thing.
I guess they might as well turn that chore into something fun.
It's when everybody just gets in fights.
Yeah, everybody just starts boxing. You can finally go fight the one person that was pissing you off all year.
Dude, have you ever wanted to build a fort with boxes?
Yeah, I would still do that.
Still do that?
Yeah. Do you think that's why people end up being homeless? Because all along they just wanted a little box fort.
They couldn't let it go from their childhood.
Yeah.
So they're like, might as well. It's the cheapest apartment you'll find.
Mm-hmm. And then they just stayed out there on the streets.
Have you been to Houston lately, downtown?
I went today.
Oh, did you see the tent cities?
I did.
That's crazy, right? They're getting bigger.
Yeah, man.
It's scary.
It's crazy.
Like, scary as
some crackheads were yelling at this guy when they were trying to cross the street.
Oh, you see that all the time.
Yeah, right in front of the Science Museum.
So you're over there in, the Museum District by mm-hmm. Herman Park.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For your fellow Houstonians, who knows where that's at. But I meant scary in a way that is our economy just, like, falling in the real estate industry? Like, are people getting pushed out? Like, how bad is gentrification happening? Or people just, like, losing their jobs that much?
Cause yeah.
I mean, there's some nice tents out there, mm-hmm. so I get it.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do probably with drugs, right? Like, somebody gets on drugs, and then their life just falls apart around them.
Yeah, there are. It's not all crackheads are homeless, but all homeless seem to be crackheads.
For sure, yeah.
It's like a weird.
Yeah, because Hunter Biden was definitely not homeless.
No,
he was a crackhead.
He was living large.
Yes, he was.
He could buy the pure stuff.
Dude, crack is so crazy. Like, I wonder how do people see and decide, like, I'm going to do that.
Would you ever?
No.
Never?
No desire.
I don't think. I would never do, like, hard shit.
Crack sounds so sketchy, dude.
Crack and meth are definitely on.
And heroin?
Well,
people say that when they do heroin, they see why people get addicted to it.
I only want to do heroin when I'm like 89.
When you're on your way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
That's it. I have no desire to do
it. You're already gay. You're already doing gay stuff. You start doing gay stuff at 70. It's a rule.
Try to live the 70s while I'm 70.
Mm-hmm. You just fuck as much as you can.
All the time. Medicine's going to be perfect. I'll just move to Oregon.
Yeah.
And I could do
just do crack.
Do that. No, heroin, not crack. Never have the desire to do that.
Well, what about if you get to 99 and you're like, I'll do some crack?
Yeah, to kill me.
Yeah.
It'll just explode my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to live at that age?
How long do you think it is until we start seeing people living to like 150? Like, how many years do you think it'll be until?
Like 50 years.
In 50 years, people will start living to 150.
Yeah,
normally. So us, essentially. Because, I mean,
I'm not making it another 50 years.
You don't think 50 years?
No, I don't think
so. Well, okay. But if you don't think that, that doesn't put your idea to... Because as it's progressing, like as medicine and stuff and technology is progressing, you'll be progressing with it. So you will survive that long.
I mean, it's possible. I'll be in the trial runs, like, we got this new cream you can rub on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I start aging, like, I stop aging or something.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine? Like, your outside will look good, but your inside is still, like, 70 years old.
Well, they're going to come up with stuff that's going to fix that, too, I guess. That's the goal, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can grow ears on rats.
What? They're doing that?
They've done that. That's, like...
Like
10 years old, so imagine what they could do now.
Like, they were able to regenerate rat ears? Like, their ears grew back?
No, they were able
to... Or human ears grew on rat ears.
They were able to grow a human ear off of a rat's body while it was still alive.
Holy like shit.
A, yeah, South Park made fun of it and everything.
No way.
But instead of an ear, they put like Mr. Garrison's penis.
Ear grows on rat. They have a picture of it?
Yeah, there it is.
Man, imagine being one of these rats, dude. They're just growing ears off of you and shit.
Yeah, I wonder if they can hear out of it, but look how freaky deaky that looks.
That is so crazy. If anybody that's listening, you need to go look this up because that's fucking wild.
And this is old news, so imagine what they're doing now.
Oh, man, yeah. What do you think they're growing off of there? Off of a rat's back?
Forearms.
Yeah, I could see that.
Elbows.
Mm-hmm. Clits.
Yeah, extra clits and dicks. They can grow. Who knows, man? What we were talking about last week, those human harvesting farms, that's going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the fun stuff that's coming our way we're all really excited about.
This was some of it. I bet you this was the news that they had to give to the public a little bit.
Yeah.
But behind the vault, there's like crossbreeds of animals running around. Cyclops is back there. Middle Earth is back there.
Rats with ears on their backs.
Rats with ears are just running around trying to hear cheese.
So were the ears functional?
I have no idea. That's all I know.
Because if they just grew them, then it's like, well, I mean, if they can't function, then does it really count as a real ear?
I don't even know how the ear. There's like a drum. There's a drum in there.
You think it gets earwax?
That the rat ear? No.
Yeah, that's weird. I've never heard of that before. That's so crazy.
Science.
I guess.
Something. That should like it would come in handy. I wonder if you can like request an ear transplant
now
these days.
Yeah, what if they like killed the rat, they cut the ear off and said they can like fix your burnt ear. Say you burned your ear.
Kill that rat.
Yeah, and so you'll have rat skin as your skin.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know what else looks like a human ear? I forgot what type of monkeys they're called, but they're the type of monkeys that you can use for pets, and they usually have like the street performer monkeys.
Yes, yes.
And
the little ones.
Yeah, with like little hats on them.
I know they can ride called unicycles. Too.
People put them in diapers.
Mm-hmm.
But those ears look exactly like a human's ears.
Do they?
It's crazy.
What kind of monkey is that?
Just look up...
Is that a marma something?
Type in monkey boo. Because it's that type of...
Monkey what?
Boo.
Boo?
One word. Yeah.
Monkey boo.
That monkey. Look at ears.
It does look like human ears. Yeah, yeah. Who's that? Monkey Boo? It's like a famous monkey?
Yeah.
Interesting. So let me look up the species. Because I cannot think what that kind of monkey is. Oh, okay. A capuchin?
Yeah, that looks right.
Is that how you say that? Capuchin?
Capuchin.
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 Capuchin. Capuchin.
Capuchin monkey.
9-year-old black capped cap. Capuchin. I almost said capuchin. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know how we got on the topic of ears, but.
I don't know either. But tomorrow's Thanksgiving. we talked gobble, about that gobble. A little bit. What do you got going on?
Just trying to get as full as I can and just chill. I just want to chill.
Watch some football.
Watch some football. Yeah, because everybody in America is going to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but then you're going to have your people that are going to be like, well, curse Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
What it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that too, but I just want to eat food. Like, it's one day you know for sure everyone's going to eat well.
Yeah, hopefully. Like even though the holiday's based on something that is technically not good, you shouldn't. You like, well, let's turn it into a good thing.
Yeah, why can't traditions change?
Yeah, you know.
And we're coming together. I think it was supposed to be like the end of harvest. The celebration of the end of the harvest year.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, I think
that's
so.
Some like pilgrim shit that I have no idea where I'm pulling that information out.
Yeah, we haven't learned about that since freaking, what, junior high?
Yeah, who cares after that? You're off for a week.
Yeah, that's all you're worried about back then. Yeah, I'm pretty much doing the same thing. We got a little bit of family coming over, nothing big. Keeping it super small. And, yeah.
That's it?
That's it, eating.
Do you do Thanksgiving as a, like, lunch thing or a dinner thing?
Well, we did Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
Which you came over for that. So we did that at night, but we're doing this one at lunch tomorrow.
For some reason, I like the lunch Thanksgiving just a little bit better.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that because you start early and then you like get to chill all day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's nice about it. You just eat
and then you have time to take naps too.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, turkey makes you sleepy.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It does something to your blood? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone out there is smart enough to fill me in on that.
Yeah, I've looked it up before, like why turkey makes you tired. And it's some chemical in the turkey.
But it's a good-ass nap.
Oh, man, it's always a heavy nap. So turkey allegedly causes drowsiness because it's packed with a nutrient called tryptophan.
Yeah.
Tryptophan. Wow. My reading is not there.
Tryptophan is on the second try. It's all good.
One of 20 naturally occurring amino acids, the building blocks of protein. Because the body is unable to manufacture tryptophan on its own, it must be obtained from food protein.
Damn.
So interesting.
Turkey's kind of like a mild poison.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to knock you out for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to trick your enemies, just make them a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
Just wait till they fall asleep. And
yeah, because then the carbs from the bread will make them sleepy, too.
Go do your debauchery.
Yeah, do whatever you got to do. If you're like a British spy or something.
Damn. Turkey's a poison. Who knew? But it tastes so good.
Yeah. Turkey's a poison. I like that. So, something else that I wanted to talk about before I forget, and I need to go ahead and bring it up right now, is we got Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. fighting next weekend.
Shit. No, that's this Saturday, the 28th.
Oh, yeah, I said next weekend, but I meant this weekend.
That's an insane fight. I can't. I hope I'm going to watch it somehow. I'll figure out a way to watch that. Because you're going to see two old men go back into the ring and just duke it out, of course.
Yep, and there's some strange rules about it that I wanted to show you or talk to you about and see what you think about it.
Strange rules of
about the fight.
The whole card or just that fight?
That fight.
Oh, all right.
So the first rule is no knockouts.
Mike Tyson can't help that.
No judges. No winner to be declared. Fight ends immediately if fighter gets cut. 8 2-minute rounds. It is a sparring exhibition match, not a fight.
Oh, are they just not changing it? Because it was promoted as something completely different.
I just saw that on an Instagram. Let me see. A couple of days ago. Let me see whenever that page shared it. You know how McGregor has their own like little... this popped up on my feed. A fucking picture of Danny DeVito from Always Sunny. Let's see, it was McGregor's sporting company that shared the picture that I just read. Oh, what the fuck? But yeah, so how do you feel about that if that's what it is?
I don't know if they're going to be able to follow that.
That sounds crazy, right? Like, and like, yeah, what you said is like, I remember them talking about like they're coming to like...
They're coming for blood.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's going to go in a mode that only a few people know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to happen. I don't see it going any other way. He just looks too good in his training videos.
Yeah, he's still super quick, super powerful. Man, just like explosive, dude. Like super explosive.
And he's how old? Like
50-something?
52?
Yeah, I can't find the picture of what I just read to you on the Mac Life's Instagram. But yeah, that made me like not want to watch it.
Yeah, 8 2-minute rounds, that's going to go by quick.
Yeah, and then just like the whole no knockout, and if somebody gets cut, it's done. It's like, well, dude, you could get cut off of one punch.
Yeah, make sure you have extra Vaseline on them then, so that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And then you also on that card, we have Jake Paul and Nate Robinson.
Which, I was today years old when I figured out Nate Robinson was the same boxer as he is basketball player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a video of Tyson working. He's hitting some bags and some.
Tyson is 53 years old.
Some pads. There we go. Man, still so powerful, dude. Look at that. Like, just super explosive. Like, those shots are coming in so quick. You got to get nervous, like, holding.
And it's so crisp.
Holding for him. Yeah, man. Phew, that movement.
So
insane.
Angular.
Yeah, it's such an art, you know? Every martial arts is such an art. Like, when you watch it and you look at it, like, it in a different perspective, it's like, man, that's. Look at that. Phew. Imagine him coming at you, dude. He's gonna knock your head off, bro.
Dude, yeah, he would. My neck would be like a pit, like one of those Piz dispensers.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be a Rock'em Sock'em robot.
It was funny. I was listening to a podcast the other day with Brandon Schaub, and somebody asked him if he could beat up Mike Tyson, and he was like, basically like, yeah, of course he could.
Brandon Schaub said that?
Yeah, but he made a good point because, I mean, he's like, does he know jiu-jitsu? No. Okay. Then, yeah, I'm going to beat him up, which is so true because if as long as you don't get caught with that shot, you got to be super fast.
Yeah, but those.
You got to shoot, but.
Brandon Schaub, I don't think. I don't know, man.
Dude, Mike Tyson moves good, bro.
And Brandon a little thick. Yeah. He's a little fatty. He's in good shape. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
Brandon Schaub will snap me in half.
Oh, yeah. Same.
But I think Mike Tyson will catch him even if he tries to shoot on him.
You think so?
With an uppercut, dude? Have you seen those uppercuts?
His
head's already down there. He's going to freaking blast him into the fifth dimension.
Yeah. Boxing is really cool, man. I was interested in doing it whenever I was younger. But now I'm just like, well, I don't want to get like any unwarranted head trauma. But boxing is definitely more dangerous than MMA, I think.
Yeah, people have actually died.
Mm-hmm.
In the history of boxing, there's been a couple of people that died in the ring.
Yeah, and people will say, well, it's because it's been around longer, which is true. But, I mean, you have to think how their rules are different from, like, MMA, if somebody's getting punched and if they're not coherent, the ref calls the fight's done. In boxing, you can get knocked out, and as long as you wake up within 10 seconds, you can go again.
And then you just get knocked out again.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, your brain's like, dude, I tried to warn you.
Yeah, that's pretty much it right there.
I'll just keep you out longer this time.
Yeah. So it's like when you look at it from that perspective, and also you look like you're only punching. So, you know, you can get body shots and stuff, but the main goal is to hit the other dude in the head. I mean, obviously, that's it for MMA too, but people can, like, you know, attack more your.
And it's weird how they score it too.
Boxing?
Yeah, it's all points. Point-based.
That's the same base. That's the same point system MMA's on too. The 10-point system?
Yeah.
By round?
Get hit in the head, it's like, oh, there's a couple points right there.
Yeah, I don't know how they exactly judge it, but. Whenever I'm watching an MMA fight, sometimes I can call a round. Like, if a round's real close, but, like, one guy edges it out by just a little bit, you give him, you know, 10-9.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's like.
Or just tie it. Just mm-hmm. tie the round. I always go for the tie. Just let them tie.
Yeah, and then see what the other rounds have in store. There needs to be a change to the judging system in MMA. Like, you know, you always hear Joe Rogan talking about it and stuff, and, like, what he thinks they should do is like have like a panel of like 9 people that are like somewhere else, not on the cage, but they're like somewhere else where they're watching the fight on a monitor so you can see better. And then he said like, and they should be all like ex-fighters and coaches, people that actually fight, which is true because these judges that are judging, they're not fighters or anything.
No, they're just from the commission.
Yeah. They just teach them how to watch fights basically. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you know so much more
if you've actually been through it.
Right.
That would be pretty interesting. I wonder how that would work.
And there's no reason why they couldn't do that. And you get nine because you get nine because, you know, obviously you need an odd number because it needs to, if there's a tie, but then there's enough people there that, like, you know, it doesn't just come down to two people agreeing. It takes a lot more people to agree for the winner.
Yeah, I think it'll just come down to like one big debate in the showroom, wherever they're at.
No, I think that not one a debate
match.
No, not a debate, but like how they do now where they just write on the cards, but there's nine of them instead of three. Because, like, those judges don't debate. They just write it on the scorecard.
Yeah, they're not talking to each other.
Right.
It would have to be unbiased people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Since everybody is like a coach or someone that's done it before, you kind of know everybody in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably going to be bias.
Yeah, that would definitely, I could see that becoming a problem if they changed it to that. It'd be interesting to see them do something different with it, though.
I would like to see that. I mean, things evolve.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a matter of time before something changes.
Yeah, because you've just seen so many fights that I can think of where, like, the guy that I thought won lost, or I thought it should be a tie because there was no clear winner and it wasn't, and it just, a lot of times you're like, man, you feel bad for those guys because they go 6 weeks into a fucking training camp, and every day it's like hardcore pushing themselves every day, and then for
they
what?
Fall short.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, you don't leave it in the hands.
Paid,
yeah,
but I mean, your ego's probably shot.
Well, they get paid, but I think that in the UFC, still the winner gets paid more.
Yeah, well, as it should be.
Yeah,
but as long as you still get paid, right? I would hate to go out there and put my blood, sweat, and tears into something and just get no reward for it, even though if I did
lose. That's true. I mean, recently there was a fight. Jose Aldo had a fight, and it was so one-sided that I think he was fighting Marlon Morales, and it was so one-sided. Like, people thought Jose Aldo won, that Dana White gave Jose Aldo the title shot. Because he thought that everybody thought he won, but they gave it to the other guy. The judges did.
What?
Yeah, so that's I'm glad that happened because he deserved it more.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to leave it in the hands of the judges. That's what they teach you, right?
That's what they say, yeah.
There's some other weird sports that are like MMA based. There is one where they're in a rectangle ring. Mm-hmm. So like long on the sides and then are long on the length but short on the width.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 5-on-5 and two teams, right? And a person meets in the middle and they fight like Spartans or whatever. It's like you can kick, punch, like knee and everything. And then this guy, the video that I watched, this one dude on one team like knocked out five people. Because once you
Holy
get knocked
shit.
Out, another one of your teammates steps in and then it's 1-on-1 again.
What is it? Do you remember what it's called?
It's put fighting like a Spartan. Yeah, the first one.
Like,
so
right
look
here?
At this ring. Have you ever seen an MMA ring like this? It looks like a
it's a legit rectangle,
right? And it's
a pretty thin rectangle too.
And then you have these two teams come out, you know, just like normal, walkout music, all pumped. It's called the TTC.
TTC.
And I think that's what it is.
This is 2020. This is recent,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so this is, like, you see all these new MMA sports popping up. There's this one, and then actually, like, bare knuckle fighting is getting popular.
Oh, yeah, bare knuckle fighting is getting, they're getting some big names on there. So then they start 1-on-1.
Like, they meet in the middle, and look, boom, boom, like, they fight,
Okay, so it's just like kickboxing almost.
Yeah, there is no takedowns, though.
Okay, so yeah.
They stand them up, so it is legit kickboxing, but...
Interesting. And it's 4-on-4, and that's a pretty good-sized crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's a packed arena for sure.
Yeah.
But it's just a different take on, I guess, kickboxing to try to spice things up.
So when do the other guys come in?
Once somebody... Like, if you fast-forward it, we'll watch somebody get knocked out, or I think that's the only way. For it to end, the whole team has to be knocked out.
Oh crap! So they keep fighting until.
Yeah. So say the guy with the back tattoo knocks out this white guy, right? Then the white trunks team member, another one's gonna step in like him.
Oh, I got you.
And the guy with the net back tattoo still has to fight until he get, you know, until he's
yeah,
finished.
Oh, they do this in jiu-jitsu. They call it quintet. Oh, it's the same thing. Yeah, they do five.
It's like winner goes on, you know?
Yeah, yeah, they do five people on a team, and the winner keeps going.
But he looks like he's holding his own. I mean, he beat two people.
Yeah.
And then there's another, like, MMA-based found like fundamentals where it's people are dressed up in like knighting shit.
Oh,
like,
I've seen that.
And they beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, I've seen that. That shit is fucking wild, dude.
There's ones where it's in the ring where it's like one on one, but there's some other stuff where it's in a field and it's 15 on 15.
Really? Like this right here? M1 Medieval Challenge 56.
They go in there. There's no way. And these fights end so quick because a shield to your metal helmet, dude, you're getting your bell.
They have ring girls. Why are they dressed? They should be dressed in like middle age stuff too, right?
Yeah.
The ring girls are all slutty still. they show their ankles and the crowd's like, ooh.
The crowd should be given tomatoes.
Yeah. I feel like they have a lot of Amish fans.
No, because they wouldn't even know about this. Amish people don't know about technology and shit.
Dude, there's an Amish mafia.
Yeah, that's wild.
And they're legit. They're scary. That's what I hear. All right, let's see. I want to see this shit, dude. Okay, so right now they're...
It's like half cage, half ring, like with ropes.
Yeah. It's so fucking weird, dude. It's so crazy that there's sports out here like this.
And look, it's another packed event.
Yeah, this one's bigger. More people are at this. And they're fighting in a pentagon. So it's only five-sided?
Yeah. Huh? They fight in a pentagon. They have shields and...
What is this? That's like a dull sword?
Yeah.
Whoa, dude, they're smacking each other with swords.
It's a blunt sword. And they jam their shield into them. I think that one will hurt worse.
Dude, it's legit knight fights. Like... It's super legit. I'd be scared to be a ref in this fight.
You would really know how to, like, use a sword.
Yeah, you would have, yeah. Work. I mean, because they obviously fight like this all the time for, like, practice. So, yeah, they're
used to it. See, he hit him with, like, a left hook, but the shield was attached.
Imagine but being the camera guy, too, right there.
What sparks the fuck? Will go flying. I wonder if, I forgot what I was gonna say.
Yeah, because this shit is fucking, like, mesmerizing.
How well
mesmerizing.
Will that protect you? You know, like, the chest plate. Does it feel like a really hard punch?
I don't know, man. That's got to hurt pretty fucking bad, dude. How long were their rounds? I didn't catch it, but they do three rounds.
It looks probably like 2 minutes.
Let me hear what this sounds like real fast. Oh, that's brutal.
It sounds like a car crash.
Dude, this is insane. This is actually really entertaining. Like the other one, I was like, I could see how that one would be cool, but this is different.
This
like,
is this on is a so new cool. level. Look up the 15 on 15 ones.
It's 15 on 15?
Yeah.
Oh, look, they go to the ground?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, shit. He's punching him with the shield. Oh, they stand him up. They let him fight on the ground for a minute. That's cool. I could actually watch this, like, legitimately. All right, 16 on 16, Poland versus USA. we're all watching night fighting.
Countries get involved.
Always.
In this.
Always.
There's a freaking thing for everything.
Dude, there's 1.1 million views.
If you have a hobby out there, I guarantee it, if you feel alone, there's a market.
Yeah, dude, there's...
People are out there will like the same shit you like, no matter what, if it's medieval fighting or, like, butt plugs.
Yeah, dude, and starting to start jiu-jitsu, I didn't realize how big of a underground network there was. And then you start realizing there's stuff like that for everything.
Everything?
Yeah.
Fishing, hunting, medieval fights, golf.
That guy not wearing a fucking face mask, or is his face mask like look like his face? That was
his
fucking
face mask
crazy.
It looked like a mask.
So what, they don't all start? They're just like waiting? Or they're protecting something, it looks like. They're like trying not to
but let look, them. He has a giant ass axe, dude. Like a...
Dude, they are fucking beating the shit out of each other with...
The Black
Knight. This is so sketchy, dude. This one's sketchy. I'd rather do the one-on-one one, right?
Look I think that. So, yeah, but people are extreme. Like, he's done for, knocked out. Look, just on the ground, stiffed arms.
Yeah, so I guess if they get taken to the ground, they're out, is what it looks like.
No, I think if you're knocked out, you're out.
No, you have to get knocked out. Dude, this is insane.
Look at that giant SX on the top screen.
It's just chaos. You can't really follow it. There's too much going on.
But this is how wars were fought.
I know.
Years.
Yeah, you're watching it, right? Years. It's so crazy. We're basically watching like how it used to be, except the swords were sharp.
Yeah, limbs were flying.
Dude, he has an axe stuck in his helmet. The Black Knight. Who is the Black Knight? Like, what team is he on? Why is he? He has this axe stuck in his helmet. It's not there anymore.
Yes. Oh no, it's not.
But it was, dude. It was stuck in the side of his helmet. Holy shit. Yeah, people that are watching, look up IMCF 2015. 16 versus 16, Poland.
Of course, I wanted that freaking Team USA to win.
Yeah, man. I want to see what these guys look like. Oh, he knocked him down. Oh. Damn. This shit's getting crunk. Oh, yeah. It looks like when they get knocked down, they stop.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you don't
people.
Have to get knocked out. I was just getting carried away.
But hey, man, I almost would rather get knocked out. 3-on-3 against the fence. Oh, some more people fell. I got to see who wins now. Dude, who is this Black Knight? What team is he for? Oh, my God.
Looks like he's on the Poland team because he just went up to him and whacking his arm.
Oh, my God. He's going at it, bro. Like... That's gotta hurt so fucking bad. There's no way that... Man, you gotta have like a killer headache after this, dude. Poland won.
No, there's one more.
Oh,
3-on-1. Poor USA.
Wait, what are they doing? Are they resetting them?
I think he surrendered. I would have too.
Yeah. Damn. Oh, and that's just the first round. Oh, my God. They have to do it again?
And you want to hear another MMA sport?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's another MMA sport where it's not like this, but I don't know. I saw it on Netflix. It's still teams. I think it's like 10-on-10, but they tap out or knock out to stop, and they play like in a field like this as well.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
And
it was,
and they're actually, but they do it like once a year,
uh-huh.
And they don't get paid, and it's like a big tradition.
It's like in Italy, right?
Italy and Spain, that yeah. area, and these jacked ass motherfuckers,
yeah.
dude, like fighting is their life, and yet they're an accountant or something.
Mm-hmm.
But once a year, they go out there and they like brawl. It reminds me of the greasers and the freaking what are the
oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. Outsiders,
yes. What are the greasers and the preps?
Yeah, I don't remember what they're called. It's been a long time.
Has been, but you get my reference.
Yeah, dude, that shit's cool, man.
So
that one-on-one stuff is, this one's too hard to follow, but it's fucking mayhem.
But yeah, the one-on-one stuff, you could follow it way easier, like you were saying.
Yeah,
and it's just as intense.
Yeah, it's gotta fucking hurt pretty bad, dude. Like, imagine how they feel the next day.
So how do you get into something like this?
Yeah, I don't know.
You've always wanted to be a knight,
I guess. So then you just fucking, your dream comes true, and you just start in this little underground thing. See, and this looks like America right here.
Yeah, there's a cowboy hat in the back.
Oh, yeah, it says in Dallas, Texas. Shit, dude, look at this. They're fucking going at it. Yeah, I guess they just have to, like, dole out the blades or something. Because obviously you can't have them sharp.
But still, dog, you have a freaking axe coming at your head.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. I'm probably gonna watch some of this.
You didn't know about this type of stuff?
No, not the medieval stuff. That's crazy.
And the bare knuckle fighting gets pretty intense too.
But yeah,
that up. That's always like if you like the bloody sports, combat mm-hmm. sports, then go that route.
You know who signed to them recently, right?
I saw Dan Henderson, some Hardy dude, the Mohawk Red. No, Brian Lisbon, something like that. I don't know. He got knocked out by Anderson Silva.
Oh, I think his first fight. I think I know who you're talking about. Who I was thinking of was Paige VanZant.
Oh, really?
She signed to bare knuckle.
She's not a UFC anymore?
Mm-mm. Why? She lost a lot.
Oh.
She I think her contract came up and she went out and like got paid, I guess.
Do they still do Ultimate Fighter?
No, but they're going to start it again.
COVID?
Probably. But I'm not sure.
Can't
or
have
maybe
those
not.
People living in that house.
Yeah, maybe not. So today I went to, we were talking about it earlier, I went to the Science Museum and I went to the bodies exhibit where they show like the real, these are like real preserved dead bodies.
Yeah, that's freaky.
Yeah, it's really weird, man. It's so strange. And they have them in like strange positions and they have their like organs like out and stuff.
What all did you see?
I saw it all, man. I saw
everything.
Some dicks. Lots of dicks. Lots of titties. Saw mm-hmm. some vag.
Like on a person still or like yeah. in a jar?
Well, I snuck into the girls' restroom. No, on the preserved bodies.
Oh, and yeah. it's just like they're mummified or they're.
Yeah, so they show you, they have a video of how they do it, but I didn't get to watch all of it because like we were walking around the exhibit. So mm-hmm. I caught like the tail end of it. But man, it takes like months to like preserve these bodies. And they go through these long processes. There's like one part where they have to like get it super cold or something, and then they like dip it in this like a silicone based thing, and then it like hardens, and it takes like 6 months. They sit in this box for like 6 months, and it's crazy.
And that person used to be walking around
mm-hmm.
laughing,
mm-hmm.
crying,
mm-hmm.
yelling,
yep.
probably.
Yep. And then they take them out and they make them, they like shape them how they want them. They like set them up and then they stay like that. They stay preserved forever.
How'd they catch them?
Well, so these people like donate their bodies to science.
Oh.
I would do that. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I think I would want to do that too.
But what if there's like still part of your brain that's alive and we don't know about it yet?
They're just watching you.
They're like still alive. They will go through that whole process and it's like super painful.
Just you're forever. I would just, you would have to die like that.
Yeah. And then whenever I left, I was like, oh, I should have brought my DR60. It would have been cool to try to do some EVPs in there and see.
Dude,
but there was this group of people that were in there that were fucking loud. They were like just obnoxious. Like they, like, you know, those people that talk and they think you want to hear their conversation. Like they think that their conversation is so fucking interesting and funny that yeah, they like try to make it all loud. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Did you shush them?
Well, one of the workers did because they were being super loud. But like it was like hard to read and concentrate because they were talking so loud. It was so fucking annoying.
You're supposed to have like respect in those types of places.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they allow phones, like cameras, pictures? Mm-mm. Yeah, they usually don't.
Yeah.
I've been to one of those museums before, and the weirdest thing, it was one of the weirdest things that was there, is that they had tattoos of people's tattoos like pinned up like skinned off their body wherever it came from, but like pinned up on this in a kind of a sick way. It was a cool art piece.
Yeah, yeah,
like in a morbid way. I bet you like people would probably buy that.
Yeah, like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, so it got me thinking like I'm gonna leave my tattoos in my will to somebody, and so like would that be too weird of a thing?
I'll take them. I'll put them back here. Do the show.
Yeah, you can have this tattoo and just pin it up and it'll be like
preserved. I can put your wiener in a jar. We can put it like where your microphone's at.
No, they don't want to see that freaking small thing. They'll be like, what is that? They have to zoom in.
Yeah.
We won't want that.
I'll put it in a Pringle can so it looks bigger.
Freaking sweaty hog in a Pringle can.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was fucking strange, dude. And like just seeing these people and then like seeing like, well, you know what they did a lot that I think is cool is that they were really trying to promote good health, because almost on like every like exhibit or every piece, it would like describe what was going on, and it was like and to make sure that this part of your body stays good, do this and do that.
No, like this person died of smoking cigarettes, and look at their nasty their lungs.
Yes, yes, they had stuff like that.
Was it really black lungs?
Yes, it's fucking crazy. Yeah.
What did you see anybody with like a drinking problem liver?
Yes, they showed an enlarged liver, I think, and a spotty liver, stuff like that. Yeah. Ugh. It's interesting, man. If you get a chance to go, you should go check it out.
Hey, I wonder how long it's going to be there.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure it's there for a while.
Did you have to get tickets in advance, or did you go in and get them?
No, I just walked in and bought them. $30.
I don't know what the guideline things are.
Yeah, $30 a ticket, and you just got to wear a mask.
That's not too bad. No. Seeing some weird shit like that.
Yeah.
I like those type of museums. Mm-hmm. I've been to, if I go, then I will get to knock out like 3 of them this year.
Oh,
like
cool.
Death museums. Like
yeah.
Like eerie. Look at organs. Like, oh, dude, these are real organs. Freaking, this is a real esophagus that was crushed by, like, Gacy or something.
Yeah. They show babies, too, which is kind of sad. I'm talking, like, when they're, like, this big.
Yeah. When they... I've seen shit like that. It's weird because they...
They have like a full baby, too, that died. And it was, like, they like preserved it. Like a stillborn? Yeah, I guess so.
That must be a hard decision for the parent. Just donate it to science.
I know. How did that come about, right?
Well, can we have your baby?
Yeah. It's like, well, how much?
They probably do have to pay, right?
I
would say in that situation, yeah, I'm not going to donate my baby. Pay me if you want it.
Yeah, probably for that situation.
Let me grieve.
Yeah.
Grieve,
yeah. I get what you meant, though.
That shit's weird.
Yeah.
But when they're that young, like, even preemie babies, they don't... You know it's human because what other species could it be? But they look off.
I know.
And you'd be microwaved for a little bit longer.
Yeah. They weren't in there long enough. Yeah.
But they're, like, see-through skinned and bulbous eyes and alien-shaped head and tiny fingers.
Yeah, man. It was crazy. They had, like, the 3 months... It was like, I mean, like this
like
big.
A little embryo.
Yeah, just some super tiny, like the size of a dime.
It's a zygote.
Pretty much.
But it's all I'm shaped sure like a is, little bean, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
They look like little pinky rats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like snakes will love them.
You should go check it out if you can. It's pretty good. It's pretty interesting. But the eyes can't be real. I don't see how they preserve the eyes. Maybe the eyes are real, too. They look fake, though.
Like little black marbles.
Yeah, well, no, they look like eyes, but they look like they're glass eyes, but they could just be preserved. Could actually be their real eye.
Glass eyes are another strange thing. Mm-hmm. At one of those museums, it showed, like, this doctor's glass eye kit, and you could actually, like, go through them. And there's just so many. Mm-hmm. Like, big ones, small ones.
Yeah. They purple just pop ones. Them in.
I'll go old school, just... Pop patch, that sucker right? out and wear a pirate patch.
Yeah, like fucking Dan Crenshaw.
Yeah. He does do.
Yeah.
Does he show anyone what's underneath that thing?
I don't know. Under the patch. Dan Crenshaw, under the patch.
That's his reality TV show coming out. Yeah. That's where he keeps all his secrets.
Yeah, so let's see. It says eye. The first thing. Yep.
Oh, it's a robot.
Oh, he has like office Captain America glass eye. That's cool. Oh, so he just has a glass eye. So it's just like an empty socket, I guess.
You think he does it as a publicity thing? It's like, yeah, I'm known as the politician with the eye patch.
It's not even real. Yeah, I mean, he was he's a vet. He lost it in the war or in something to do with.
Well, thank you for your service, Dan Crenshaw, but
appreciate
that
you, bro.
Doesn't leave you vulnerable for jokes.
Yeah. Captain America, glass eye, that's pretty cool. Yeah, man. So that was pretty interesting. We went and saw that movie Freaky with Vince Vaughn.
Mm.
It was pretty good. It was like a play on Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
But the main character changes places with like a serial killer. It was like a slasher horror.
Okay.
But it had a comedy.
Yeah.
It was comedy too. It was funny. It was good. There was some parts that made me laugh a lot.
But how did it feel going back to movie theaters?
Oh, we've gone to movie theaters a few times.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been back to one yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't faze me. Yeah.
You wear a mask while you sit down?
No. Always. No, they make you. They, you know, they don't make you wear it whenever you're watching the movie.
Which one did you go? The one right here, close by?
No, we went to Star, but because we went and ate dinner too. But yes.
Movie and a. You just had a treat yourself day.
Yeah, we took advantage of the day because we're off work. Well, I'm off work, and Emery's daycare was still open, so we're like, "Well, take her to daycare today and
we'll hang out." Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, take advantage of it. So it was nice. It's been a while. So
recommendations all around. If you're looking for things to do,
yeah, go see very the movie fun stuff. Freaky. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
I haven't seen Vince Vaughn in a movie in a hot minute.
Yeah, he's always in a movie where he's trying to sell you something. So it was weird seeing him in him. He did a good job because he had to play like a girl, like a high school girl, like, but in his body. And he did a good job. It was like real subtle. So it was like really funny. And like he stayed on it. Like when he was like running, he would like always like run like a girl. Like he did a really good job.
They did the classic look in my pants, see my penis joke.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah, that one, and then the boob one too on the opposite side.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
they it's always good. Do something like that.
Yeah, they do. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
You have to state the obvious. Yeah, yeah. So if you can check that, if you get to check that movie out, definitely do so.
Take advantage of your days off. Is the moral of the story?
Yeah, we got all deep on you.
Yeah,
let me hit you real deep.
That's what you gotta do.
Real deep, like. So anything new for you happen lately?
Anything Let's see. Good? Landed a job.
Yep. That's good.
So did a couple shows. So I'm steadily getting back into stand up again.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fun. It's cool to see new jokes like work.
Oh yeah. I bet that's a good feeling.
Like, yeah. But then at the same time, it's like, oh, this new joke's working, but how's the stage presence?
Mm-hmm.
What's that like? Are you interacting with the crowd? Are you just like reading off a script
type of
just going through the motions?
So is that kind of how you usually build your jokes out? Or when you think of your jokes, do you try to also think of like how you're going to say it, like with your body movements too?
Yeah, I take that into account. Well, the first thing that I ever go into writing a bit, it's like if I'm just daydreaming or brainstorming and if something just sticks out and makes me chuckle, just like makes me giggle at first, I'm like,
yeah,
there might be something to that. So I dissect that idea for a little bit and then always try to add, you know, there's rules to like writing jokes, like where's the turn, where's the tension gonna be at, where's the premise, where's the pauses. And so when you're thinking about the rules and you're thinking about, okay, how am I going to say this? What's my voice? What's my cadence? And how is it going to come across on stage?
Mm-hmm.
And so you start writing it out like that. Like
yeah.
The idea and how you're going to say it.
And anybody listening to this that wants to or thinks or has thought that they could be a comedian, like, I don't think they realize how much actually goes into it. I think a lot of people say like, oh, you just go up there and say funny stuff. That's not hard. I'm funny with my friends. But they don't realize the difference.
Yeah, because your friends aren't going to be every audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how to be universally funny. Like, yeah, being funny on the spot is going to get you like places, but
right.
It's not going to carry you.
Right.
You're going to have material to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think after a while, if you start becoming known as like the interactive comic with the crowd, then you're just inviting more and more heckles. So what if you like you really do want to work on a joke and you're known for you know, coming back to like your wit, like Stephen Hofstetter.
Oh, I've seen videos of him
where he posts a lot of heckle videos.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of incites the crowd to like,
right,
let me heckle this guy, maybe he will put me on his video or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'll be the one this time to get them.
So it's always good to have that in your back pocket. But I always thought, like, let your material do the talking.
Right. Yeah, and there's a lot.
Shut that shit down quickly if someone tries to talk.
That idea of what you said of being, like, universally funny, because you can be funny for situations and stuff, mm-hmm. and that's easy. Or you know, or you know people around you, so you know what makes them laugh, so you use that.
Yeah, but, pander to them.
But yeah, being universally funny, where you just get put anywhere, any city, and you say this joke and it works every time.
That's, yeah, and that shit's, it is way harder than what people think. They're, like, I'm on comedy groups on Facebook and whatnot. And mm-hmm. there's this new person was like, I'm thinking about starting stand-up comedy. Should I just go up there and be funny, or do I have to write out material? And then it's like, why are you even asking? Of course you write out material.
Yeah.
You don't go up there and just be funny. I hope he does do that and yeah. bombs.
Yeah.
Like,
have some sort of premise. I want
to
invite people
to try to do stand-up, but no, it's like, at the same time, it's almost like a sacred thing.
Yeah.
But of course, there's gatekeepers to it. There's going to be people that want you to fail, and if it feels like you're spitting on the artwork to it, then yeah, I would want to see you bomb.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Because
it's going to make me feel good.
Yeah.
In like a dickish way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't mean to be like that, but I think you got to have some respect to it.
No, it makes sense, dude, because like, it makes you feel good when a new person comes into jiu-jitsu and then yeah, you just work them.
Like, yeah. Oh, I've been doing jiu-jitsu in my garage for like 16 years. I don't need a gym.
Yeah.
And then they just get worked.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, you don't, buddy.
You don't? Well, look here. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was right doing like material on like my traveling stuff, and it's kind of cool seeing it all come together. It's like, oh, okay, now this is a new minute bit, and it's like, oh well, now I got two new minutes just on the traveling, because my sort of comedy is like short jokes, punch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of writing that goes into it.
So is that something you think that you'll continue through your career, or is that just something you're trying now, like the short jokes?
I think it's just something I'm trying now, because we only get, at the most, like where I'm at, the max is like a 30-minute set, but most of the mics are 5 minutes, and you want to do your best at like every chance you can get in front of people.
Right.
So at open mics, you'd rather go with the more laughs instead of using the whole 5 minutes to work on one thing.
Right.
So when it translates to your bigger set, then it's like, oh, well, 5 minutes out of the 25, out of the 30 minutes, I just have, you know, like four more sets left to do.
That makes a lot of sense.
Like four more 5 minute jokes.
Right, right.
But I'm seeing it as like 31 minute jokes.
Mm.
Like what would you rather?
That is a lot of writing. Yeah.
Would you rather like get one big laugh
mm-hmm.
after your 5 minute joke?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather have 30 laughs like in between after every
right
every joke? What will sound better on audio? What looks better on video? What's easier for editing and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
But if I look at myself honestly from a different perspective, I don't see my true self on stage yet. I don't see how when I'm around like my close friends and mm-hmm. everything, and free and more animated and like quicker, I'm not that on stage yet when I'm in front of people.
Gotcha.
So I'm like, yeah, there's still some growth. There's still something that needs to be unlocked.
Yeah.
Where I can feel truly free on stage.
That's tough, man.
Yeah, but at least I notice it.
Right.
I'm not there. Like, I can see myself getting there. Sometimes I do get there,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the help of alcohol and a little bit of, if I can get like a hit or two in of the doja.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, this is the sweet spot. And I'm feeling free, and I'm saying the shit that I would say around like my close friends on stage, and it's working. And I'm like, oh, I'm hitting a groove.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just lose it. It's like this weird zone.
Yeah, I get that. I can understand that. It makes
like,
sense.
Oh, I'm not anywhere where I see myself.
Yeah.
Like, I know my personality, and it's not matching up how I want it to translate on stage yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming together.
But like you said, the fact that you recognize that and you know that that's something you got to work on and mm-hmm. try to be able to just do, like, you, it's almost like I think that's why like a lot of like rappers and famous people that act and stuff, they say that there's like, they have like two personalities, because they like, you know how they like a rapper will have like a different name and they're like mm-hmm. somebody different. Like Eminem was like, he's Slim Shady. When he's Slim Shady, he's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And like, you know how they have, I think that they do that because you got to almost not be, you got to be like who you are, but like at a higher, like at a turned up, right? Mm-hmm. So you're almost not who you really are. So you got to like be a different person. So I think it's easier to think about yourself as a different person because then you go out there and it's like, this isn't Nick. This is somebody else in my head.
Yeah.
And then you can, it like makes it a little bit easier and you're doing it in a fake way just because you know that you're not being who you really are.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I remember watching an interview.
See what you're saying?
With a rapper and they were talking about it. They were asking, I can't remember who it was, but they're asking him why he had like different personas. And then he explained it like that. I was like, that makes sense. Like,
so he can try to get in a totally new mindset.
Yeah. And it's not being fake or not being who you are. It's just being who you are, like turned up.
Yeah.
So
I think I have to get rid of complete fear of judgment mm-hmm. to get to the spot.
Yeah.
Some of the best comics in Houston, you're like, oh, they totally act like that off stage as they do on stage.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's, they don't have an off switch mm-hmm. or something, but you could just tell like in, they found the groove of writing in their personality.
Right, right. Yeah.
I don't think I truly found that yet.
Yeah, and like you said, it's just going to take time.
I think
like,
that's all it is.
Another thing I remember hearing on a podcast, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Bert Kreischer, and he was talking about how, or maybe it wasn't Bert Kreischer. I can't remember. But you remember the comedian Brody Stevens?
Yeah, rest in peace.
His name used to be Stephen Brody. Like, that's his real name.
Yeah, Stephen Brody Stevens.
And then in the story, he came off stage after bombing when he was still going by Stephen Brody. And he told the comic, like, he's like, Stephen Brody isn't funny. And then he was like, what? Yeah, you are. And then he's like, no, you know who's funny? He said, who? Brody Stevens. And then he said he went on the next night as Brody Stevens and killed.
Oh. So it's just maybe that was a little, that was the click for him.
Yeah, yeah. Like you just like put like yourself in like this little bin for while you're on stage and you mm-hmm. and you take out this other suit that and you put it on just for that moment and then you take it back off and you get off stage.
Yeah, but I don't, you hear stories like, oh, people don't like, Bo Burnham talks about that.
Really?
Like, oh, you act different on stage than you do off stage. Like, why? Is it because you're stuck up? Isn't?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, it's because I'm a performer.
Yeah.
It's like I'm performing. I'm not performing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why do people expect me to be the same person on stage as right. I am off stage?
Right. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
So, it's a weird balance. Comedy's like, wait, yeah, it's more hard. It's more difficult than what people assume.
Oh, for sure.
It's yeah. tolling, like, emotionally and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes physically.
Yeah.
When you do a lot of act outs, you can
sprain your ankle.
Sprain your ankle on stage trying to hump a stool.
Yeah.
You know, the classics.
Yep.
It's just weird, but, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't give up all my experience and all the shows I've done for anything. It's been a fun journey.
Reps. Met
so many cool people. And
yep.
It's brought me to different places in the country, and it's like, new experience every time you go on stage.
Yeah.
Like you're saying the same jokes, but it's a different reaction. You get to engage. And if you're really killing it, then you just hit that groove again. It's like, oh, I feel like my true self on here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have like a weird mental runner's high.
Yeah. It's so true, dude. Like, that's probably with almost anything that somebody's doing, like practicing, that's very difficult on a consecutive basis, because like I'll go into class sometimes, like, dude, last class, I mean, I got a black eye right now. I got beat the fuck up last class. Like, I just got whooped, dude. And like the class before that, I felt like it was too, like, I was confused when I left, because I said everybody that night felt super light. I was like just kind of working everybody that I rolled with at that night. I didn't have much issues. Like, I felt really comfortable and just like real fluid. And then, like, last night, I just got beat up, and I sucked. And I was driving home. I said, this is fucking crazy, dude. It's like a emotional, like, back and forth in your head. Like, you think one day, you think, man, I'm pretty good at this.
Oh, I'm the worst.
Yeah,
I'm
dude.
I'm fucking shitty. I should kill myself.
But that's living right there, man. That's good shit.
It's walking on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
The edge of fucking, I don't know, prosperity.
The edge of depression and happiness.
Yeah, we're walking that fine line, baby.
Walking it as closely as possible.
But I've been feeling good about comedy lately.
It's good, man.
I've done 2 shows in like a couple days span, and each set seems pretty solid. So
you're just feeling good after every time you come off the stage.
Yeah. But I always feel like I could do better.
Yeah.
There's so many killers in Houston.
Yeah. But that's good, though, because it helps motivate you to not like get complacent.
Yeah, when I went up in Salt Lake City, it felt like it was an open mic, so of course there was a bunch of amateurs, but these people said they've been doing it like 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But compared to like the Houston scene, the people that's been doing it 6-7 years are just straight up way better than the 6-7 year vets in Salt Lake.
It seems
like the people that are doing open mics for about like a year, 2 years, mm-hmm. are just as good as the 6-7 year
wow.
people in Salt Lake City.
Wow.
Like I saw Nashville had solid people,
mm-hmm.
that you can, yeah, they can walk in any room and
really
and hold their own.
Damn.
But yeah, it was a solid, maybe it was like a slow night or something, but or they were just trying to lie to the new guy passing through.
Yeah.
Like, this is our spot.
Yeah. It's true. I'm sure they get territorial, like you were talking about, too.
Yeah, like gatekeepers. Because mm-hmm. everyone feels... like, you always get that weird vibe when I've gone to different cities and, you know, I have an off night and I'm trying to just do an open mic. It's real, like, standoffish.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, when you go on, every comic stops what they're doing and listens for the first couple jokes.
Yeah, just to see what you're about.
It's like, oh, man, this is fucking weird.
So awkward, yeah.
Like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Just go about your business. Where are the people that want to listen to comedies, like, that's what I prefer.
Basically, what's happening is, like, they just pissed on a spot, like your dogs, and then you're just sniffing the spot, and you're looking at them like, I'm about to pee on your spot. And they're like, you better not pee on my spot.
It feels like an audition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every time, like, welcome to our scene with open arms if you do a good. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, you're funny, man. You can sit at the table with us.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, thanks. Can I get my Letterman jacket, too?
But you're like, fuck you, Mormons. Salt Lake. I don't give a fuck about this.
Dude, Salt Lake City is fun, though. Don't knock it because it's a bunch of Mormons. I mean, it's just like a regular city, but if you go to their science museum, that shit's fucking dope.
Why?
All the dead dinosaurs.
Oh, I think you talked about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, because they had a lot of dinosaurs there. They found a lot there, right?
Yeah. It's all like, and they still have, like, fossils in the mountains and shit.
Yeah.
It's like, for some reason, Utah is like, weirdness happens in mm-hmm. Utah.
Yeah.
If it's, like, paranormal or dinosaurs or fucking religion or... just weird nature stuff.
Yeah.
Just weird things. And it's always like Utah. Of course it's Utah.
It is. It's true. And do you want to finish on this? Because talking about Utah, I know we're going to talk about it on our Just Paranormal show, which for the listeners here, if you want to check out the YouTube channel Just Paranormal, and you actually find a show with me, Roman, and Nick. And we didn't even talk about Roman.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, sorry, Roman. Roman is MIA if you're wondering why.
Yeah.
This episode's quiet.
Yeah, he said he came into contact with a COVID victim. Or not victim, patient.
I mean, they are victims, too.
I guess so, right? Yeah.
So he wanted to be on the safe side and stay home.
Yeah.
Because he's afraid he might be a carrier, which I respect, but...
Yeah.
Dude, you'll be fine.
We miss you, Roman. Just come back.
We do miss you.
Come back, Roman.
But we're, yeah, Just Paranormal is the YouTube channel.
Yeah, so check it out.
And this show is more structured. Like, there's actually a point to the
show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not a free-form conversation where you're just chilling with us for an hour.
Yeah, and you're just, like, either really bored by our conversation or entertained.
I think we have a good balance. I feel like you can learn some random new fact from this show every episode.
Yeah, I like to think so. Because, dude, all I do is listen to podcasts constantly. Mm-hmm. So I get, like, random facts constantly.
Yeah, and if some stick with you, and then yeah. just share the knowledge. Yeah. You know, that's what education's about. Yeah, spreading yeah. knowledge.
We out there educating.
Dude, we are. We're educators. I'm going to put that on my resume.
Yeah. Helicopter. We're going to cover this in our Just Paranormal episode, but let's cover it on here, too. Helicopter pilot finds strange monolith in remote part of Utah. A mysterious monolith has been discovered in a remote part of Utah after being spotted by state employees counting sheep from a helicopter. The structure, estimated at between 10 feet to 12 feet high, appeared to be planted in the ground, and it was made from some sort of metal. Its shine and sharp contrast to the enormous red rocks which surrounded it. Utah's Highway Patrol shared images of both sheep and the monolith. So, for people listening, a monolith is... I looked it up just to be sure the other night, because I was like, what exactly is a monolith? Like, what is a considered monolith? And it is a large single upright block of stone, especially one shaped into or serving as a pillar or monument.
So Stonehenge is a popular
yes.
monolith.
So, dude, that thing was just sitting out there in the middle of Utah. So somewhere out in the desert.
These people spotted it from a helicopter.
Yeah.
And they have mixed views on this. I think it, I don't know what to think from this. Because this was in 2001 Space Odyssey, I think.
Yeah.
And so it could be an artist doing like a rendition or a homage to it.
Which is just, what's weird about it is, like, how do they get it out there? I wonder if it's yeah. it has to be heavy. If
how
it's
much just, does it weigh?
Yeah, if yeah. it's just sitting. And in the spot that it was placed, in a really cool spot. Like, look, it does it justice. It, like, makes it look prettier. So that's what makes you think it's a work of art. But then it's like my brain instantly went to aliens. Like, it's like...
It does look very alienistic. Maybe like a signal or a marking point.
Yeah.
My first instinct was like a religion. Thing because it's in Utah, of course, so they have weird religions out there.
Right.
It could be like a beacon to Joseph Smith's new planet that you get.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't, but it's so strange.
Yeah, that one's definitely a weird one, so we'll keep you up to date on that one, folks.
Yeah, I hope we get to see like something crawls out of it. It could be a key to a portal.
Yeah.
There's so many weird, who knows?
And if you want to hear more about that on our episode of Just Paranormal on Just Paranormal YouTube channel, you can also find this show on YouTube on the Not Today Satan Podcast YouTube channel, and you can find us on Instagram at Not Today Satan Pod. Nick, plug away.
So I have an Instagram account that I use that is at Nick's a Comic, or you can add me on Facebook at Nick Bermea, Bermea. Nick's a Comic, NICKIS. NICKSCOMIC.
It's like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MICKEYMOUSE. Something like that.
Yeah. As always, you can find Madhouse, a paranormal documentary on Amazon Prime, and The Evil of Nowhere on Amazon Prime. And I'm going to say it on the show, but I'm not going to say when or where, but. Very soon, it's looking really good that I will be leaving the state to go to another state to film another documentary. So
hell yeah, go hunt them moths.
Excited. I'm excited. So keep lookout for that. And yeah, that's it, man. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.